Morning, my name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. Don't worry, I'm not going to give a long sermon. But I do want to bring our attention to one passage that we read earlier by John and Kellen in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And I'd just like to ask the question, what's in a name? In the case of Jesus, a whole lot. Verse 18 said this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, the birth of Jesus. Jesus in Greek is Jesus, which is translated from the Hebrew Yeshua, literally meaning Yahweh saves." That's what Jesus means, Yahweh, God saves. Yahweh is the name by which God made himself known to his Old Testament people. And the name Yahweh speaks of God's eternal, self-existent, uncreated, and unchanging nature. He is the one who has always been, always will be, and causes everything and everyone else to exist in all of creation. Now, many parents give their newborn children names with great meaning. Right, parents? Some of us even take a couple of extra weeks to name them because we have trouble kind of coming to agreement about just that specific name. Why do we name them that way? Because we want that meaning to be fulfilled in their lives. It's usually a name of blessing, right? But when God the Father names his son, he is telling you who his son is. Jesus is Yahweh, God, coming to save his people. Yahweh, the Son, sent to save by Yahweh, the Father. Jesus is salvation, given by his Father to save. Who? Matthew hasn't answered that yet. And to save them from what? He'll answer that in a minute. Verse 18, though, tells us more. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. Christ means the anointed one. Hebrew, Mashiach, the Messiah, the one who will deliver his people. That's the meaning. From this we learn that Jesus is the one chosen by God and appointed to deliver his people who need deliverance from bondage. But bondage to what? He'll answer that in a minute. So in verse 18, we see that a baby was born, and that baby was chosen and appointed by God to save God's people from something and to release them from bondage to something. But Matthew hasn't filled that blank in yet. But what we do know is that Jesus is the embodiment of that salvation. And that salvation comes from and was sent by God. But he goes on and he says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So Mary and Joseph are betrothed, which is sort of like being engaged and sort of like being married. But it's different because Jewish weddings had two phases. The betrothal happened, the parents would agree that the two would be married, and the legal document was signed, and they were married, but they didn't actually come together for as long as a year. So the bride would live in her father's house, and a year later there would be a public celebration and ceremony when she moved from her father's house to her groom's house, and then they would start a family together. So it's during this in-between time of the betrothal that he's speaking of. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. That's before she moved out of his father's house, before she'd ever been intimate with Joseph or any other man, and before she'd ever known intimacy with any man, that pregnancy happened, and it was different from any other pregnancy ever occurred on earth before or since. Mary was still a virgin when she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, by his power caused Yahweh, Jesus, to be conceived in the womb of a virgin so that Yahweh, Jesus, could save and deliver his people from something. But this kind of pregnancy had never happened before. And Mary's betrothed husband, Joseph, didn't know why she was pregnant, only that she was pregnant and that he was not the father. And to Joseph, Mary's pregnancy must mean that she had been unfaithful. To him, it was evidence that Mary had broken their marriage covenant before it really got a chance to start. And I'm sure he was brokenhearted about it. And Joseph had a choice to expose her publicly through the courts and divorce her that way. But he didn't want to put her through that. So he chose a more compassionate alternative. Verse 19, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He made up his mind to handle things not in the courts, but with her parents. with whom the contract had been made, so that she wouldn't be publicly exposed to humiliation. But Mary hadn't been unfaithful, and Joseph needed to know the truth, so once again, God intervened. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. An angelic messenger was sent from the presence of God in heaven and delivered God's message to Joseph in a dream. The angel said, Joseph, don't fear to marry Mary, because her pregnancy is not the result of unfaithfulness, but the work of God's Holy Spirit within her. It's by divine power that she is pregnant with a baby boy, and you will name him Jesus. And by Mary, by naming Mary's baby Joseph as a son of David, in direct line to the royal throne of Israel, passed down his legal right to be king to his adopted son, Jesus. Yahweh saves, the Messiah. Joseph named his adopted son Jesus, the coming king. Jesus, Yahweh saves. And the angel answers the questions we've all been asking. Save from what? For he will save his people from their sins. The long-promised Messiah was the incarnate reality of God the Son, sent by God the Father to save his sinful people, to deliver his people from bondage to their sin, and to save them from the eternal consequences of their sin. This baby himself was God in human flesh, God the Son, on a rescue mission. And this was the fulfillment of a promise God the Father had made through the prophet Isaiah nearly 7 centuries earlier. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now Mary was that virgin, and the son that Mary carried in her womb was Emmanuel, was God with us. It's not just a name, it's a description of who Jesus is. He is God, he is Yahweh with us. Jesus was and is truly divine, but Jesus is also God with us as truly human. And for that to become reality, he had to be conceived by the power of the Spirit in the virgin's womb as a human son. So now the picture becomes clearer. Jesus, who the Apostle John says in the first chapter of his gospel, had been in relationship side by side with the Father from before time began, possessing all the perfections of divinity, everything that that God the Father possessed, Jesus possesses in himself. That is the one, in obedience to the Father's plan to save his sinful people from their sins. That's the one who came to earth. And he came to earth through the miraculous and mysterious power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus added humanity to his divinity by taking on a human nature, by being born a virgin's baby, so that he, as God's Messiah, might be with us and deliver us and save us from our sins. That was the angel's message. And when the angel finished speaking, Joseph woke from sleep, it says, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. And it is this coming of Jesus to earth as a human baby that we celebrate at Christmas. But there is a danger if we don't grasp the reality that is the basis for our celebration. You know, although the Christmas holiday is great, God the Father didn't send his son to institute a holiday, but to deliver us from our captivity. The Holy Spirit didn't cause Jesus to take on human flesh just so he could rub elbows with us as a fellow human being. No, he didn't humble himself and set aside the independent exercise of his divine power so that we could sing carols, decorate trees, and give gifts. Although those are all great things, I love doing them. That's not why he came. No, he humbled himself by taking on the form of sinful humanity, because our sins had doomed us to eternal separation from God. and everlasting punishment under the wrath of God. Why? Because each one of our sins broke God's good law. We each personally attacked the good character of God by our sin. In our law-breaking, each of us rebelled personally against our Creator, and we led a traitorous personal insurrection against His rule every time we sinned. And for this, we justly received the death penalty. But God loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the love of God was on display for sinners as Jesus lived a righteous human life in perfect fulfillment of God's law, so that as a truly righteous human, He could give His righteous life in the place of our sinful ones. Only as truly man could He take the penalty of death in our place and actually die as a man. And only as truly God could He endure all of God's wrath to the end and satisfy God's justice on our behalf through that crucifixion. See, God didn't simply overlook our sins. If He overlooked sin, God would not be just. Instead, God satisfied His own justice by punishing Christ in our place. He gave His life in punishment for our wrongdoing. He rose from the grave to offer eternal life to all who, by God's power, would turn away from their sins and turn to Him in faith for forgiveness. Throughout history, not one solitary person who has ever come to Christ in genuine faith has ever been turned away. Christ saves sinners. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you are the worst of sinners. It doesn't matter if you think you're beyond the ability of Christ to save you. Christ can save you. Christ saves sinners, even the very worst of them. And you can rely on His promise recorded in John chapter 6. Listen, He said this: I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He's given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's His promise. When you consider Jesus, who do you see? Who do you see? Do you see the Father's promised Messiah come to deliver you from your sins? Do you see Jesus, Yahweh saves, as the one come to save you? Do you see Emmanuel, God with us? Truly God, yet come to earth as man to save your soul from hell and give you eternal life. Is that who you see? Then keep your eyes on Jesus. Repent of your sins. Put all of your trust in Him, and you will have eternal life today. If you're already trusting in Christ, you already have the greatest reason to celebrate His birth this Christmas. You've been saved from your sins. Let's pray. We praise You, Father, that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son. We praise You, Jesus, for coming to earth as a man, living the way we would not live so that You could die in our place. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You caused Jesus to be incarnated as a man, and then You applied the freedom He bought on that cross to each one of us who have trusted in Him for salvation. I pray that many more would trust Him today. Pray that in Jesus' name.